Want to advertise your business in a cost-effective way? It's time to give podcast advertising a try. Research shows a high rate of podcast listeners made a purchase as a result of an ad they heard on a podcast. Visit podbean.com/brands to launch a cost-effective podcast advertising campaign in minutes. That's podbean.com/brands.
Welcome to Yolitics, the home of cold beer and hot takes on Texas politics.
Are you rolling now? Are you ready for this, finally?
I am ready. I wasn't ready the first time around there. So, I'm off today.
Yeah, for our listeners, we're gonna give you a little pass here because you are off and this week. And you deserve it because you work really hard. You're one of the hardest workers.
Well, I hope you're recording on your end because that's important.
Are we rolling yet?
Well, you better be rolling because I don't think we'll get you to say that twice. Really, I just want our boss. I know that a couple of our bosses listen religiously, and I just want them to know that here I am on a day off, still plugging away.
We'll have something in your paycheck for that.
What another?
What are you
deduction?
Drinking today? Right. Hey, so you're off this week. What are you drinking, man?
I just in the spirit of this podcast today, because we're talking about how some of your gifts may not be getting there in time for Christmas, because shipping is a real issue. So I am staying hyper local here. Drinking something from Deep Ellum Brewing Company in Dallas so that I didn't require a lot of trucks to be taken up getting this beer where it needed to go. And I am having, I don't know if you've had it before, the Neato Bandito.
I almost bought that. It's great, but I've had it several times.
Oh, I've never had it. It's a Czech-inspired Mexican-style lager.
Well, I'm going to beat you today. I have a beer from Revolver. Yeah, Brewing Company, which is in Granbury, which is southwest of Fort Worth.
Yeah, required another truck to get it where it was going there, Jason.
And then my car to get it to my house. But I'm having the amazing Corn Dog Ale. Ah. This is food on a stick in a can. Wow. And the other side says don't forget the mustard. So I'm not sure what I'm going to be opening here.
I don't know that I ever would want to drink a corn dog, but maybe worth a try. You've got to take a sip of this and let us know. And you got to be honest here. Revolver will understand if it's not positive.
It's not bad.
Does it taste like a corn dog?
Like a Diet Coke, maybe? No, I'm just kidding. It's not that bad.
But does it taste like a corn dog? Do you have a hint of corn dog in there?
Maybe a little mustard might put it over the top. But
oh, you know what would be good with that? Maybe as a pretzel, big soft pretzel with mustard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now we're talking. So. As I already illustrated there, we are talking about shipping today and how it's going to be an issue this year, just because, you know, everything's been an issue this year. And so early on, you know, we've been reporting this for a little while that, you know, e-commerce has just exploded. I think that e-commerce, I read the other day, has expanded to such a capacity that they didn't expect to expand to this much capacity for 4 more years. But then the pandemic hit and, you know, everything's been nuts since then. But, you know, e-commerce means that all this stuff has to get to where it's going, the finished product and the raw pieces of those products. And so early on, as we were reporting this, Jason, I kept saying, I'm going to start early this year. I'm going to get my holiday shopping done and over with and out of the way. No drama.
And so for you, starting early is what, December 10th?
The week before would be starting early. Usually it's a couple of days before.
And that's about like I am.
But no, this time I said, I'm going to get it done like November, 1st of December. I have not even begun. I have no idea what I'm going to get anybody. I have no idea even who I'm going to shop for.
Well, you better be shopping for me.
Well, we'll see. I'm going to get you a six-pack of Neato Bandito.
Hey, I'll take it, man. Done. I was talking to a buddy of mine the other day who's actually in shipping, and he told me that he's already done his Christmas shopping. This was like a couple of weeks ago. I'm like, are you kidding me? And he said, yeah. I said, well, why have you done it? He said, because the supply chain, the trucks and the ships and the rail cars, they get your stuff from, you know, overseas markets to or overseas ports to the markets here in Texas, the whole supply chain's completely stressed right now. I'm like, hell, man. I mean, are my kids not going to have anything while we're going to Walgreens to shop for them? So I said, you know, hey, come on and be on the podcast today. So we have Aaron Armistead on. He is a regional vice president at NFI Industries. And NFI Industries, they run trucks. You might have seen their trucks on the freeways. They have rail cars. They do everything. And they do it for a lot of companies you've heard of. All right, so Jason, let me tell you about Aaron. If you know, I go to like CNBC and the different like Market Watch to get my you know, stock tips and things like that. But if I really want to know what's going on with the economy, I ask Aaron Armistead, because he knows whether the rail cars are full, whether the warehouses are full. Mm. And we were together when the in mid-March when this whole pandemic blew up.
Yeah.
And everyone, we couldn't find toilet paper. And I'm like, dude, I don't know how much toilet paper I have at the house. What are we going to do? And he said, relax. The warehouses are full. The warehouses are full. I'm like, you know what? I was relaxed after that. So Aaron's on the line with us here.
Well, hey, at this point, I don't want to talk to Aaron about what we're doing in the podcast. I want to talk to him about some stock tips now that you've mentioned all of that.
He's my economist. Huh. He's the guy I go to. So Aaron's on the line here with us. What's up, man?
Hey, good afternoon.
So you told me the other day something that shocked me, and I was like, dude, we got to have you on. You said that you've already done your Christmas shopping, and this was like a couple of weeks before Thanksgiving. I'm like, that's nuts. Why?
You haven't done yours yet?
I usually wait like to 10 days out.
Yeah, I would definitely.
I usually wait till about 2 days out or one.
So Whiteley, let me tell you. So in March, I may have said the warehouses were full. The warehouses aren't full right now.
So what does that mean then?
Well, you know, so if we think back without retelling the whole story of 2020, when it comes to a, you know, supply chain perspective, you know, there was the panic buy. You heard the term panic buy. People bought, stocked up. Supply chain wasn't built for that kind of surge in purchasing. Then everybody bought what they need. There was also only so much toilet paper, paper towels, you know, beer and wine that they could really stock in their house. And as things closed down, things sort of stopped, came close to a halt. Then as things have opened back up, a lot of businesses were cautious about restocking their warehouses and their inventory to the same level that they did previously. No one knew what was going to happen. I mean, heck, right now, as much more that we know about the pandemic and the environment that we're in, there's still big questions left. So think back into April, May, the questions that were out there about what the economy is going to do. Is it going to be a V-shape? Is it going to recover? Is it not? And so a lot of businesses didn't have the confidence to go out and buy and restock their inventories. They let their inventories deplete. Mm-hmm. Let's sell what we have. Let's be cautious. Let's sell what we have. And then things started to open up again. Americans wanted to go out and spend their money again. There's certainly been some stimulus involved, obviously, which has you know, greatly buoyed the economy and the individual American consumer. And you know, think about it from areas that Americans have been able to spend their money, entertainment, going out to eat, they've had money for other things. And so now you've seen this whole cycle of some retailers, some consumer goods industry not being able to restock their inventories to the level that they want. So, and this has been before Christmas, before the peak Christmas sort of surge.
Well, yeah, that's what I want to ask you then. So are you concerned that these warehouses aren't full and you just have done your Christmas shopping now because you're not sure if things will be left?
Absolutely. You know, very concerned. I mean, again, you know, we wait till the last second. You know, you think about the spat between, you know, FedEx and Amazon, I believe at the end of 2019, you know, Amazon wasn't happy with FedEx's ability to handle its peak season surge. And they forbid some of their third party sellers from using FedEx Ground. Of course, that was after, you know, FedEx cut, you know, ended a contract with Amazon. So there's more story there. But then, you know, even you could probably go back, it wouldn't take probably but a minute or two to find some stories from previous years when there may have been some real significant growth in e-commerce between, you know, between Thanksgiving and Christmas. and you throw in a cold, you know, a snowstorm or an ice storm, and you know the transportation providers can't keep up. So, you know, what we've been talking about here in the Armstead household is, well, okay, let's not wait till the last minute. But then we've been watching this pain, you know, been watching this pain for months, and the inability of large retailers, brand name retailers, you know, as much as 40 to 50% below normal inventory levels.
So that being said, you wonder about shipping. So, you know, when we hear that, you know, these warehouses are getting depleted, you think, well, at least, you know, they don't have as much to ship out. So if I wait another couple of weeks, I can buy it and it'll ship on time and all of that. But that's not the case either. We were reading a guy named Satish Jindal.
Sure. I know Satish.
Who works with, with Ship Matrix. Yeah. And they track this stuff, and he's looking at, you know, in this holiday season, he says, we're going to ship 3 billion packages just in the U.S., and he's estimating more than 7 million a day of those packages are going to be delayed. They're going to be arriving late. That's a staggering figure when you think about it. So, you know, do we pay attention to these usual shipping deadlines that we see, or should we be wary and like you said, get in there early and not only buy it, but get it out?
Well, we practice what, you know, what we preached here in the Armstead household, and we're done. And we're done.
So it's already sent too. You
done.
Bought it and
it's
sent.
No, it's in the garage. Now we have it. We have it on hand. So, you know, of course, there, you know, we may be able to pick up a thing or two at the store. But so, you know, you have the backup that has come from the reopening, and you have the growth in e-commerce. And e-commerce just isn't the Amazon truck or the UPS truck that rings and runs. You know, they put the package, ring the doorbell, and go. It's back to the manufacturing supplier in overseas, Asia or Europe. It's the limited space on the cargo ships. It's the availability of containers to even load onto the cargo ships. It's once it hits the port, likely in the West Coast, could be in the East Coast. We're seeing some of the issues in the East Coast too. The West Coast, there's limited real estate. As large as the, you know, LA Long Beach port complex is in Southern California, there's not unlimited space there. And everyone really trying to push to get their product imported, you know, in line with this reopening, has really created some congestion. So let's say
when we talk about packages, we're thinking about the package that I might send to you, which is the gift I'm giving to you. We're not thinking about the manufacturers having to send to the retailers and having to get it to the place where I buy it from to be able to send it to you. So all of that is backed up right now.
You know, there is real estate that is full in, you know, major U.S. ports. There are outside, you know, yards. We call them yards or large parking spaces for containers. You know, there's a port, port on the East Coast that we do a lot of work out of. You know, we had a large retailer that you're familiar with come to us and ask us for one additional yard for some containers. We now have 7 in that one Eastern Coast port. We opened them up within 5 weeks. So, you know, you multiply that across the U.S., that gives you an idea. So it could be in the U.S.
So that's just stuff that's sitting there?
Sitting in containers that either needs to be unloaded from those containers and put on a tractor trailer that, you know, we might see driving around Dallas, or put on, you know, that container taken and put it on, on the rail, on one of the railroads.
What would you tell people right now, Aaron, who haven't done the Christmas shopping like me and like Wheeler here? Is it too late?
No, it's not too late. So what you have, you know, is you have sort of the confluence of the, you know, of the reopening. You have the growth in e-commerce, which there's lots of widely, you know, publicized stats out there that, you know, e-commerce is, it has grown just this year, you know, 20%, you know, beyond what was expected as people have changed their habits over health concerns.
Right.
So if you take those two scenarios, and then add a typical holiday shopping season, which happens between that Black Friday and then the week or so before Christmas, that's when I would expect really anything could happen. So I think there's probably some time now. Now, you know, the companies that are out there that are primarily servicing that last mile, you know, Amazon, UPS, FedEx, the Postal Service, they have tremendous networks. They're, you know, highly capitalized, highly adaptable businesses. This is not a surprise to them. It is just going to be a real painful challenge. And we've seen, you know, I've seen some notices of surcharges for certain types of service. I've seen the removal of some guarantees. Like, you know, usually you could request a guaranteed delivery option, not an option. We'll talk about that next year. You know, I think it's going
to
be.
You might have to pay extra for it.
Or pay extra. So
if we don't get it done in the next couple of weeks or so, it's going to be gift cards and cash for everyone this year.
Which may be, you know, may be way people, some people do, some people handle it anyway.
I find that people's faces light up when you give them cash.
You know,
though.
Wiley, this year, don't worry about ordering anything for me. Gift cash. Card will be fine. Cash, sure, even better.
So, hell, I lost my train of thought now, man. I was trying to think of what I want from you for Christmas.
You work on your list.
Yeah, I need to. I'm nervous now that I might not get it done. How likely do you think it is that there will be delayed packages and all these millions of packages each day don't get delivered on time?
Oh, I think, you know, so, you know, am I the best person to make that kind of statement? But I would say that the conditions are definitely there for disruption. You think back to...
Tell me why you think the conditions are there.
Oh, well, so, you know, again, you think, you think about what it takes to, you know, to deliver a package. It's not about the Amazon driver, the UPS driver, you know, working a few extra hours. You know, it's not about the Postal Service, you know, doing some extra work on Saturdays. You know, really you have this sort of unforeseen, you know, unpredictable situation that we've been in. The timing was, you know, impossible to predict or plan. And it's going to come to a head here at the end of the year. Sort of have three, you know, it's going back to those three sort of scenarios that are going to, you know, collide with each other.
The bottom line is these warehouses, whether it's Best Buy, Amazon, whoever it might be, these warehouses just don't have enough stuff in the warehouses to be delivered to everyone.
So I think they've been able to keep up. They've not been able to reach the level that they want. They haven't been able to gain ground. They've been keeping their head above water, so to speak. And what's going to be interesting is what happens here at the end of the year when it's really a peak time for those consumer goods and people buy.
I'm curious, does Texas have any benefit whatsoever just because of its geography and the fact that you've got some really big airports here? You've got a big port down in Galveston. Do we have it better than some other places, let's say, that are, you know, interior, like a South Dakota, a Kansas, a place like that, as far as being able to get that stuff into the state and get it delivered?
Jason, that's a great point. We, you know, I take for granted the transportation infrastructure that we have here in North Texas. I mean, we have a strong and diverse transportation network, and access to it as any place in the country, honestly. So, you know, to that degree. But we also have a lot of people here, and a lot of people will be buying a lot of stuff. So while there is quite a bit of infrastructure there, there are also a lot of people spending money. The economy is really, you know, we have a lot to envy. We have a lot to be thankful for, I should say, you know, relative to some other parts of the country here in North Texas. You know, to your point, I could definitely see the farther someone is off sort of the normal route, absolutely, that would be definitely an elevated risk of delay.
And the bottom line is you think that when I get online, like on December 23rd, probably to start ordering my Christmas stuff, I'm either going to see sold out or I'm going to see cannot guarantee this will be delivered.
Absolutely. That's exactly what I would expect. I wouldn't wait that long.
Is this a good thing? Is this a good thing then for all these manufacturers? Because you heard about how, you know, they were all damaged pretty badly earlier in the year when, you know, basically business just came to a standstill. And we kept hearing about how this holiday they need to do well to be able to make up for a lot of that. Are they doing well? Does this mean they're doing well? Or does this mean that they could be doing a lot better if they could get their hands on that product and get it moved out of those yards where it's parked right now?
So you know, the large big box brand name retailers that we're familiar with had the investment already made in their e-commerce and their logistics infrastructure, and they're the ones that are going to be most likely to be able to really sort of fight their way through it.
So it's the little guys who are having trouble.
I think that is where you're going to definitely see some challenges there. I think, you know, if a retailer can't get its product to the store shelves, it doesn't matter how much they had to, you know, spend. You know, there's a point where, you know, there was a point last Friday where we saw a typical truck trade route between Southern California and Chicago moving for 3 times the normal rate, and there were retailers paying it. And you think about that cost and how that equates to the cost of goods and profit. But if it doesn't ever get to the store, they're never going to realize any revenue at all from that sale. But
so instead of
those are people with the networks. Those are people with the networks. They can go to that. There are other people who don't have those relationships or don't have the size or leverage, or maybe we're not as invested in developing e-commerce, transportation, supply chain capabilities that are going to feel the most pain.
And to explain that to our listeners, so instead of putting product on rail out of these shipping yards, Long Beach, LA, you had people paying 3 times what they normally would pay to put stuff on a truck and to drive it from LA to Chicago?
Yeah, I mean, the railroads, in a sense, sent messages out there, we don't want anymore. Don't bring us any more business right now.
Jeez.
We're congested.
Wow.
And that's not because they want to do that. That's not because they want to do that, but they had no really more capacity available to address that. So typically between truck and rail, you know, it's a price point. How much, what's the cost, capacity available, supply and demand dynamics, truck becomes expensive, then rail becomes more attractive because the transit times aren't really that much different anymore. Mm-hmm. The railroads used to be considerably longer transit times, but when there's no space left on the rail, you go to truck, and we're seeing, you know, weeks upon weeks of supply demand imbalance.
That is fascinating. You never think about something like that when you go onto Amazon to shop for something, like how it's going to get to where it's supposed to go. You just wonder, like, wait, what do you mean it's going to be Tuesday and not Monday? Like,
right.
You don't think about all of this.
I'm like, dude, I pay for Prime. I want this an hour. Get
I know. Everybody who pays for Prime almost acts as though they're the only person paying for Prime, and therefore it should just be, you should be bending over backwards for me, you know?
Hell yeah, why not, man?
Yeah.
Well, Aaron, man, I appreciate the insight as always. Why, Jason? This is the guy I go to find out what's going on. You know, if my 401k is not doing very well, I'm like, Aaron, what's going on, man?
We're going to have to get Aaron back on, though, to talk about those things, because I think that might even get more listeners, because everybody's wondering, you know, what they need to do there.
Good stuff, man. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Sorry to be a Scrooge today talking about
Christmas shopping. You're actually like a pair of jumper cables. I think you might actually get the two of us started here. So yeah, Jason, after listening to him there, I'm newly inspired again to shop early, well, somewhat early compared to usual. But it does sound like if you don't get this done soon, yes, you are going to be shopping for your kids at Walgreens this year a day before Christmas.
Oh, not that there's anything wrong with Walgreens.
Just what I wanted, vitamins and, you know,
and a
lotion.
Box of Whoppers.
Actually, right. You know what? Walgreens, in defense of Walgreens, so that we don't make them angry, and it's not, I'm not pandering in any way. I love Walgreens. I love shopping in Walgreens.
Why are you pandering right now, man?
I'm not pandering. I really, and like, if you ask me, you know, where do you want to, I'll just go to Walgreens. Like, they have everything I need in that one little store, it seems.
Yeah, like. I'm with you there. I've been a Walgreens fan all my life, but we're not pandering to Walgreens.
Are we being paid by Walgreens?
They're not sponsoring this
podcast. We should be
maybe,
at this point.
Yeah, maybe they'd like to come out at this point. but, you know, so many of us rely on what we order from our phones, sitting in the kitchen or in the living room, thinking, hey, you know, my spouse might like this. My boyfriend, my girlfriend, my kids might like this. And that is all dependent on whether FedEx and UPS and Amazon can get it to us on time. And after talking to Aaron, I wonder if they can.
Yeah, so we decided we should probably get UPS on the line here. And, you know, the really cool thing, I think, for a lot of people right now who might be, you know, down on their luck, you know, maybe they've, you know, lost a job in this economy that's been very unpredictable. The good news with all of the backup in supply chain and shipping and all of that is it's creating a lot of opportunity. So there's a lot of challenges there, but there's also opportunity. And we've got jobs being created. I mean, usually they try to have their ducks in a row by now, Jason, as we head into this, you know, crazy busy shopping season. They're still hiring, like, and lots of people.
Yeah, and a lot of times we get like spokespeople on the phone here for big corporations like UPS. But when we called UPS this time, the HR director said, no, I'll talk to you.
Yeah.
So we got Milton Bennett here. Hey, Milton, good to see you, man. Thanks for taking time out.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Jason. Glad to be here.
Yeah, so you're the HR director for Texas, for Oklahoma, and for where else? Another state, too, I believe you
mentioned. No, all of Texas, all of Oklahoma, but I'm located right here in the Dallas Metroplex.
We're trying to give you another state to oversee, Milton. You ready for another state?
Sounds like you're trying to promote me live right here on the air.
But, why not, man?
Right now, considering how busy we're going to be, I'm good with Texas and Oklahoma.
Yeah, I bet so. Hey, tell us what you guys anticipate, just shipping-wise, going into the holiday season here, since we're closing in on Black Friday here.
I don't have exact numbers here for the Dallas area, but we do over 20 million packages a day. You know, nationally, and we expect, as always, that number typically will double as we get into the peak season. And you just nailed it. As we get through to Black Friday, and of course that weekend, and we roll right into Cyber Monday, Katie bar the door. We expect to see that double digit growth and start to really deliver Christmas to our customers.
Milton, I think a lot of people anticipated, just because this is such a different year with it, you know, being a pandemic and all, and there's a lot of concern about going out so much, that there would be a lot of online shopping and this holiday would be unlike any other. But it looks like it's almost shaping up to be even beyond that as far as the number of packages that we're going to be seeing over the next, you know, month or so, month and a half.
Yeah, no, you're right. So we've already seen peak seasons this year because of the pandemic. We've seen that surge, that peak season, increase in shipping and volume throughout the summer. So we really expect this to be, to your point, a peak within a normal peak, right? Compounded by another peak, as people really rely upon, you know, online shipping, online shopping. And so that's one of the reasons why we, as a company, we projected to hire over 100,000 people, you know, nationally. That's why today, this kind of late into the season, I'm still hiring another 1,000+ jobs right here in the Dallas Metroplex area to get ready for what you're talking about, this additional peak season that's still mounting and that's still coming.
And so these are jobs that are open right now, Milton, right? And if people are interested in working, give us an idea what these jobs are and how someone who might be listening to the podcast, how they would apply for it or let their relatives know that this is an opportunity available.
Yeah, Jason. So we put on thousands of jobs already. We still have 1,200+ jobs remaining. So here in the Dallas Metroplex area, I'm going to just key in on areas like Dallas, Keller, Justin, even if you push up the tollway into Plano, we're putting on many, many more driver helper positions. You see those folks riding around with our drivers. Of course, this year, they'll all have a mask on. Drivers will have a mask on. So mainly now, driver helper positions are still available. And inside manual jobs, inside our warehouses, as package handlers, are also still available. So we're encouraging everybody to go immediately to upsjobs.com. That's upsjobs.com. Fill out an application for those sites that are nearest to them. And we're actually having online virtual interviews and hiring people right on the spot, Jason.
And Milton, do I need a CDL though to drive a UPS truck?
No, you don't. And well, let me just say this to you. So a lot of what I just mentioned are seasonal jobs, the package handler position and the driver helper position. But we are in Dallas still hiring permanent feeder jobs, tractor trailer jobs, not like the brown package cars behind me, but the big 18 wheelers, right? So for those, you do need a CDL, and those are permanent positions, and we are still hiring for those in Dallas. So please, yeah, go to upsjobs.com if you have that CDL and apply for those jobs as well.
Sounds like you're applying here, Jason. Do you have a CDL?
I don't have one. I have a CHL, but not a CDL.
It's something to think about. Milton, just so we don't leave anybody out here, because we have listeners all around this state, and even in Oklahoma too, where you oversee that area as well. This is not just a thing where you've got some jobs in the Dallas metro area. You're looking all over the place, aren't you?
Yeah. Great point, Jason. So we're still hiring in Tulsa, Oklahoma City, Round Rock, right over by Austin. Round Rock is still a big area where we're putting on a lot of driver helpers and inside manual positions in our warehouse in Round Rock and in the Austin area. So those would be probably our target locations right now, Jason. The Dallas Metroplex area, Plano, Justin, Keller, those areas, and then Round Rock, and then our Tulsa and Oklahoma City area.
I want to ask you about this because, we know what unemployment has been like. So many people have lost their jobs in this pandemic. A lot of people in Texas have been able to get back to work, but there are still quite a few who are out of the workforce. How competitive are these jobs right now from where you sit? Are you seeing a lot of people? Are you seeing a lot of demand, basically?
Yeah, good. That's good. But a lot of people are unemployed now, and that's what makes these jobs so special, I think, that we have to offer. From a competitive standpoint, talking about wage rates are just the tip of the iceberg, right? Because these jobs range from $14.50 an hour to $17.50 an hour. Our tractor trailer jobs start at $21 an hour. But the pretty cool thing here is we know a lot of people, due to the pandemic and due to unemployment, are wanting these seasonal jobs to turn into something permanent, right? Mm-hmm. And just so you know, about 40% of all of our seasonal jobs segue into a full-time opportunity as we get into the new year. So we're talking $25,000 educational benefits come with those jobs. We're talking competitive wages. We're talking insurance. We're talking pension benefits as well. So you have outstanding health care, outstanding pension, educational assistance. So from a competitive wage standpoint, a total competitive compensation standpoint, these jobs do segue into some pretty nice permanent opportunities for a lot of people come the new year.
And I guess part of the reason for that, isn't it, that we are changing as a society? I mean, we may not see, we're going to see this huge number of packages that happen between now and Christmas, but it's almost like our habits are changing and we're just going to keep on ordering online more and more and more. You all just get busier and busier and busier, and you're going to need those people.
Yeah, you just nailed it. We don't see this really changing. I think people have figured out ways to be more efficient and effective with their buying and with their shopping habits. We promote a lot from within, so we sort of create our own internal momentum when it comes to opportunities. We hire a lot of students this time of year, and a lot of students move on to their field of interest, and so then that creates more additional, opportunities as we replace those students. People begin to retire, we replace them. And then those brown package cars that you see in my backdrop there, most of those drivers come from our part-time ranks because we pull and promote from within. So it's just this cycle where we have a unique opportunity to continue to create opportunities for employment for some very good paying and very rewarding job opportunities.
Milton, thinking back to March, did UPS and did you ever anticipate we'd be in this situation where you're just struggling to hire so many people?
Very good question, Jason. I don't think anyone foresaw the dynamics of it. We do know every year, though, our seasonal package volume nearly doubles. So we've been doing this for a while. 113 years, and we have a very good industrial engineering department that looks at the numbers, communicates with our customers. So I will say there is some anticipation of what we're going through now, but I think with the pandemic and the changes in shopping habits, for as much as we could plan for it, we only can control what we can control. So we're ready for it, though. I think we're ready for it. The additional job opportunities that we have are still there. I think we're going to get those filled, and we're going to really be able to deliver Christmas to our customers.
You mentioned the numbers there just a moment ago. Give us some idea of the numbers. Is it 100,000 or so seasonal workers that I read that the company wants to hire nationwide?
Nationwide, and, Jason, you're right. It's like 100,000 nationwide.
And how many of those roughly are in Texas and Oklahoma? 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 more than that? What do you think?
I'm going to say 500 to 6,500 jobs here in the Red River District, Texas, Oklahoma. Some seasonal, some of those are permanent.
Wow. Milton, thanks for the time, man. Yeah, no doubt.
Milton, I hope you haven't jinxed it because, you know, you say we're ready. We're ready. So I hope you haven't jinxed it because those sound like famous last words when we look at this onslaught that's coming.
Now, I thank you for the opportunity. We're confident. We're ready to deliver Christmas. We're ready to deliver the holidays again.
Man, he doubled down. He doubled down.
He's ready.
I'm not shying away from it. UPSjobs.com. We need folks to help us get there, but we're going to be ready. We're going to be ready, Jason and Jason.
Awesome. Milton Bennett from UPS. Thanks for taking the time because we know it's busy. You've probably missed about 150 messages there on your computer while you've been talking to us.
So, you know, that's encouraging to hear, Jason, the fact that despite the stress on the supply chain, there's a lot of opportunity. There are jobs that will be created here temporarily that will turn into permanent positions.
Yeah, that's a big deal, the fact that you can translate that into something that's lasting after we get past, you know, December 25th. And you know, a lot of people already have the qualifications, Jason, as you talked about. You know, it's just a regular driver's license to drive those brown trucks. You know, I used to drive a truck like that, by the way.
Did you really?
Yes. So if they'll let me drive one of those, they'll let anybody. I did it for Mrs. Baird's Bread. I used to be a bread guy.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Stick shift. You were the bread guy.
Stick shift and no air conditioning in Houston.
I bet you were ripe, man. I bet you were just ripe.
Yeah, I still can't clean that BO off.
I used to, you know what I enjoyed a lot? I worked for Office Depot back in the day when I was in high school, and I drove a forklift, and that was, it was fun, but I was always freaked out about changing the big fuel tanks on the back of them, because I can't remember what fuel it was, but it was always like ice cold, and I was always nervous about doing that.
I'm a little nervous.
A lot of fun. I was nervous for whatever it's worth. So anyway, so let's get back to what we're talking about here. Bottom line is I'm going to start shopping for Christmas. Yeah. I'm going to start making some purchases because if my buddy Aaron's already done this,
yeah,
and he sees what's going on, then it's probably good advice to take.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, it's worth saying too that I forget which day it is that comes after Black Friday. I think it might be the Saturday after, is it? That
Cyber
business,
Saturday, is that? Small Business Saturday.
Small Business
Cyber Monday,
Saturday.
That's right.
That might be, you know, a bigger deal than usual this time around, just because when we were talking to Aaron earlier, you know, he's saying that the big boys are going to be fine here. It's going to be the smaller ones who end up having a difficult time, those small businesses. So, you know, if you can, if you know of one, if they've got some inventory, you know, give them some love this year. A lot of these businesses have struggled mightily, and those businesses, you know, all those different businesses equal jobs, too.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, good deal. Thanks for listening to this week's Yolitics podcast. And if you haven't done your shopping, you might want to think about it after doing this, because I'm clearly going to do that. And, you know, the corn dog ale is not that bad, man. It's a smoked ale. But I think the aftertaste is where the corn dog comes in.
So you've got an aftertaste of corn dog now in your throat.
Yeah, the corn dog palate on this is not that bad, but the aftertaste is where you actually get it.
I think you're a terrible salesman for that, because that doesn't sound good.
It's like the funnel cake beer. And you know what? What beer are you drinking for Thanksgiving?
I probably won't drink any beer for Thanksgiving.
Wow.
It'll be something. I have eggnog.
Because that has no calories.
And
I
usually make the eggnog like my wonderful late grandmother did, where she would say, hey, the eggnog's over there. I put just a little bit. It was always the key words, just a little bit of whiskey in it. And I mean, you walk over toward it, and first of all, you notice that like the paint on the wall near it is peeling, and like the fumes hit you about 5 feet out, and you go, "No, you didn't put just a little bit." But man, that was
put a little bit of the egg dog in the whiskey. Probably that's what it was.
You drink with much moderation when it's made like that. But so I'll probably whip up something like that, throw a little bit of nutmeg into it, and be golden.
Nice. I ran to the store today, and I saw that somebody, I can't remember who it was, it's a local Texas brewer, though, is making a pecan pie beer.
Sounds a little sweet.
Didn't get it. I mean, it was a six-pack, and I didn't know if I could invest in a full six-pack of it, but I would definitely try one, so if they sell the singles, I'll try that.
Yeah, that could be a little iffy, a little sweet. A little too sweet, maybe.
I'm trying to be careful about the calories.
Well, you could do a half glass of that and a half glass of the corn dog one and kind of equal that out, you know, that sweetness a little bit. A little bit of corn dog, a little bit of pecan pie.
Cheers, guys. Thanks for listening this week, and we'll see you again next week.
And happy Thanksgiving.